Studio 360.
I'm Irena Liddell, and I am cosplaying Steamy Leia today.
Ooh, Steamy Leia.
Yes.
Cosplay, for those of you who haven't kept up with geek culture as closely as you meant to, is the term for when fans dress up as their favorite characters from comic books and fantasy movies and then go out in public to gatherings like Comic-Con. This hour of Studio 360 is all about various sorts of fans, but cosplay is a kind of extreme fandom that used to be considered so over the top that even comic book geeks made fun of their fellow geeks who did it. Then social media came along.
Hi, Fallon. What's your name?
Sub-Zero.
What does your mom call you?
Dan.
Cosplayers started posting videos of themselves in all their spandex-clad, cape-wearing splendor. And these videos helped normalize cosplay, even made it seem kind of cool. Let your freak flag fly. But some cosplayers, ones whose skin isn't Caucasian pink, are still required to justify themselves. My friend Eric Malinsky has a podcast about sci-fi and fantasy called Imaginary Worlds, and he brought us their story.
Every year during San Diego Comic-Con or New York Comic-Con, lots of websites will post slideshows of their favorite costumes. One thing that I've noticed is that those images rarely reflect the actual diversity that I see in the convention floor. What I see at Comic-Cons, and rarely in slideshows, are black cosplayers dressed as characters that are not traditionally depicted as black. So I sat down with Brittany K. Williams and another cosplayer who goes by the name Sookie. And before I could even start, they were asking each other questions.
If you have really good, like, bendable, like, Eva foam, or even if you use, like, Instamorph, you can make the star and the circular part, and if you have, like, a good amount of Warbler, then that's perfectly fine. The staff part can be like a dowel or like a piece of like PVC pipe.
Okay, I really have no idea what they're talking about. But I do know that they're talking about the challenge of taking two-dimensional cartoon characters or video game characters and figuring out how to look like them in real life. And they're not Hollywood costume designers. The materials have to be affordable, but look fantastic. Now, of course, those are practical challenges that every cosplayer faces. But black cosplayers have to deal with a lot more.
My first annoying comment was said in out of love. And I feel like that made it worse.
Much worse.
Yeah.
She meant it
with love. And it was when the first time I was prepping to do cosplay and or like for a convention that I was prepping to do it. And I'd made my list of characters that I wanted to be. And I was like, oh, I could be this and I could be this and I could be this and I could be this. My friend who was white, she was like, well, you can't be those characters. And I was like, why can't I be those characters? She was like, they're not black. You could be these characters. And she named like three characters from shows that I did not watch who happened to be black. And like one is like, you could be Anthe from Utena. And I was like, I don't watch that show. I'm Sailor Moon. I'm not. And if I'm going to be a character from Utena, I'm going to be Utena. I'm going to be the lead. I'm not going to be a secondary character. Like, I don't. That's not what I do.
Yeah, it's almost like assuming that you're only going to identify with
that one, that one minority character.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
Especially because they're usually like background characters. If they're not the secondary character, then they're like tertiary characters.
Like the sidekick
or like,
something.
No, I'm the lead.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. Did you not get that? No, that's not what we do here.
And it's so funny you say that because it's just like I cosplayed Raven from Teen Titans. And it's just like I've actually had someone go, oh, why don't you just be Bumblebee?
By the way, Teen Titans is a DC comic book series. Bumblebee is one of the black characters.
And I'm just like, as much butt as Bumblebee kicks, I love Raven. But I'm and somebody's just like, but Raven's white. I'm like, first of all, no, she's not. She's not even human. She's Azerothian and she is half demon. Her skin is gray. So your argument is fully invalid.
Here is a married couple that cosplays together, Harry and Gina Crossland.
Sometimes we don't go to the movies to actually see the movies. We go to the movies to get the cosplay ideas. Like, that movie sucked, but the costume was awesome.
A few years ago, Harry was at Baltimore Comic-Con talking with his friends Trent and Mike, and one of them said he should dress up as Bishop, a black X-Men character who was tall with dreadlocks, just like Harry.
Trent was really hung up on the idea. He said, dude, you got the height, you got the size, you should do it. I said, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe. I think about it. So I thought about it. And I think maybe about 2 or 3 weeks later, I showed Gina the idea. Gina liked it and said, okay, well, let's run with it. Let's just see what happens. Say either it'll be a big hit or nobody will care, because Bishop is a character right now that you're rarely seeing in the comic books.
So when Harry finally debuted his Bishop costume, it was a big hit. But Harry is more excited about his Superman costume, which has Kryptonian armor, like in the movie Man of Steel.
The problem is, and this is happening, you know, amongst my own folk as well. They're you know, when they see us doing these different spins, you know, they've asked us like, okay, well, are you the Universe 24 version of Superman?
Meaning, are you from an alternative universe?
Are you the black version of Superman? Are you this version? Are you that version? And so on and so on and so forth. And I'm like, no, I'm just Superman. And, you know, there have been times I've actually gotten into debates with people who are like, well, you know, and they didn't want to come out and say it and say, well, you know, Superman is white. You know, they try to say, well, you know, if you did this or if you added this to your army, you could be that version. I'm like, I don't want to be that version. I'm the version that you see in front of you.
Talking with these cosplayers, I noticed a few themes coming up. First, a desire to come up with your own spin on a classic character that stands out, maybe says something. Second, a pride in their craftsmanship and wanting to be recognized for that. And third, a deep yearning for community. That's why Brittany writes for the website Black Nerd Problems.
So, Black Nerd Problems is a culture website. And I like to say that we report on the convergence between nerd culture and black culture.
Suki often wondered where those cultures overlapped when she was growing up in Coney Island.
Not for nothing. Like, when people think of Coney Island, they automatically think of the mermaid parade, like the rides, the hot dog eating contest, the boardwalk and the beach. Don't ever go in the water. But out of the out of all the people that I've met there, I've probably met 3 or 4 other people that were into, like, nerd culture and into cosplay. And it's just like, when I'm walking around in cosplay, because I remember one time for New York City Pride, I actually cosplayed as Rainbow Dash, because why the hell not?
Wait, what's Rainbow Dash?
From My Little Pony.
Oh.
Friendship is Magic.
Yes, that show's good.
So you're just like, by the way, Friendship is Magic.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm walking through the neighborhood and I've had like so many people staring at me, and one of them like was my neighbor, and they're all looking at me like, what the hell does she have on?
Yeah.
They look at me like with this stereotype, because like I've actually gotten this all the time growing up, like, yo, you're black. Why are you doing all this quote unquote white people stuff?
So again, that is why I was so surprised how diverse the fan base is at Comic-Cons, because the slideshows don't often reflect that.
Because the thing is, when you have other people out there that have never cosplayed, they have never been to a comic convention, and they want to go, especially when they are of a minority, when they're people that are nervous about their body type. When they see the video, and all they see on the videos are young, skinny people, regardless of what color you are, young and skinny, and that's all you see, then that's going to make you less want to go out and cosplay.
This issue came to the fore a few years ago when a cosplayer named Shaka Cumberbatch came up with the hashtag 28 Days of Black Cosplay, which coincided with Black History Month.
Oh, I was all on it. I thought it was the best thing ever.
Suki felt the same way.
She started a revolution.
Yeah.
When you think about it, she started one of the nerdiest, geekiest, artiest, cosplayiest revolutions in the black community. And it's gone so far. Yeah. Off the grid, and it's actually gone worldwide, because there are cosplayers not just in the States. There are black cosplayers in Canada, black cosplayers in the United Kingdom, black cosplayers in the Netherlands, and it's just so, so beautiful to look at.
It's like a bat signal. We call out to each other.
Yes.
Like, say, like, you're someone in the middle of, like, the middle of nowhere in Wisconsin, and you're like, I kind of want to do cosplay, but I don't know what to do. I don't know. Do black people even do this? I don't know. Then just hit the, look, hashtag, there you go.
They've had to fight larger battles, too. A shocking number of white cosplayers have taken to wearing blackface when dressing as characters that are traditionally black, like Storm from X-Men or Michonne from The Walking Dead.
When you decide that, okay, I'm going to do Storm or I'm going to do Michonne from Walking Dead, and I got everything else right, I even got the wig, but now I'm going to color my skin, that's no.
and widen my nose, don't you?
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah. There was a young lady in Germany who did that and who decided she wanted to get a prosthetic for her nose. Because I feel like this, my skin is not your costume. You know, for as many people that actually want to die on that hill and defend the practice of blackface, I tell them, I say, well, I do Superman. How would you guys feel if I went out and I painted my skin to appear white and then got a spit curl?
The most common argument they get from blackface cosplayers is that other cosplayers put on green makeup to play the Hulk or red makeup to be Hellboy.
You're like, you can put on green makeup. Does that make it racist? Is that weird? Like, if I put
and
on
I'd
green
like
makeup
know,
or if I put
I
on like
to,
blue makeup or... And it's
I
like,
just tell
no,
them,
it's not
I
the
need
same.
You to go on Facebook right now and go through your friends list and see which one of them actually has green skin that was born of this planet.
Right.
That's literally like, what no. I tell them. Which one of the, yeah. your Facebook friends has green skin or has yeah. purple skin? I'd like to meet them right now and ask them if they think it's racist. And if you right. can't find me not one person with green skin or purple skin or blue skin, then I need you to shut all the way up.
But they are impressed when they see non-black cosplayers play black characters without blackface.
Like for instance, I saw this Asian lady do Michonne at Baltimore Comic Con. It was spot on. Mm-hmm. Great. I was like, and I told her, I pulled her aside. I said, ma'am, thank you so much.
Sookie once saw a white cosplayer dressed as Mike Tyson.
He was bald. He had the face tattoo and everything and was and did a great job. And like when somebody was like, you have the great Mike Tyson cosplay, he's like the guy said himself, yeah, I don't understand why people have the blackface in order for it to be accurate.
Having to constantly referee these issues can be exhausting. That's not why they went into cosplay. They got into this hobby for the same reason everyone else did. Because it's fun.
I feel like a celebrity for a day. Even my father, who came to Baltimore once, he said, y'all like celebrities. People just come up to you and want to take a picture. I said, yeah, it feels good, don't it?
This whole time.
A version of this story appeared on Eric Molinsky's excellent podcast, Imaginary Worlds.